Well, very good morning, everyone. It's a great privilege to be sharing God's word with you this morning. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, and over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the previous chapters in Acts, the start of the spread of the gospel. Just to recap very briefly, in chapter 1, we read that Jesus returns to heaven. And if you just think about it, the disciples had seen many wonderful things over the previous 3 or 4 years. And in the previous couple of months, they'd seen Jesus die and they'd seen him rise again. Absolutely amazing. But it was 40 days or so now since Jesus has rose again, and I presume the disciples might just have been getting used to it. And then he was taken up from them into the air. Just have a think about what sort of sight that must have been. How amazed they must have been. Jesus returns to heaven. But he left his disciples and he left us 3 P's. A promise to return for us. Now, when Jesus left, not many people saw him. But when he comes again, the world will see him. The trumpet call of God will sound throughout the world, and the voice of God will be heard. And you know why he's coming again? He's coming again for you. That amazing worldwide event is for you, if you trust in Jesus. So there was a promise to return for us. And there's a purpose in life that Jesus gives us. To proclaim the gospel. That's in chapter 1 and verse 8. A purpose in life. Something we and only we can do. A purpose in life to proclaim and spread the gospel. And the third P is the power to enable us to do it. Jesus told his disciples to wait until he sent the Holy Spirit of God to be with them and in them. And that same Spirit of God is in us this morning if we believe. I'm fond of looking back to the Old Testament and reading about Solomon, the richest, the wisest king of Israel ever. And he gathered from all corners of the known world enough of the riches to build God a temple. And yet, you know, when that temple was built, it couldn't contain God. But God is in you, and God is in me. Through his Spirit this morning, we have the power within us to do all that Peter and John did, and more, because it's the same power, it never changes. And that's just the beginning of chapter 1. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and in his power, the disciples begin to spread the message of the gospel, a message of love. Christ died for you. And a message of power, because it brings forgiveness for sin. And it also brings the Spirit of God to live within us. And so the message of the gospel changes lives. It transforms us. And in chapters 2 and 3 then, we begin to see the breathtaking results of the spread of the gospel message. The worldwide church, the bride of Christ. A light shining in the darkness. Lives being rescued from hell. And the glory of God made known. This morning we're going to look at our part in all this. It's incredible. It's wonderful to realize that we have a part in the spreading of the gospel. Because the mighty God has worked within us. He has come to us. He has touched our lives. His message has reached us. It's changed us. And it's given us the same promise, I'm coming back for you. It's given us the same purpose to spread the gospel. And it's giving us the same power, the Holy Spirit within us. So let's consider what part we have. And consider especially this inner compulsion there ought to be in our lives to spread the gospel, to share the good news, to share the message with others, because there is no other Saviour for mankind. Salvation is found in no one else. Peter and John were commanded to stop speaking of Jesus. They'd been imprisoned, and now they were threatened. They were ordered to cease speaking the gospel. But Peter said, we can't help it. We can't help speaking the gospel. We can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. We have to tell others. Why? What was it that compelled Peter and John to speak? What irresistible force ensured the spread of the gospel? Well, it was the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that, if you believe, is in you and me. And Peter and John realized two major things that provided them with this compulsion to spread, no matter what, the gospel of the love of God. The first thing was the sheer wonder of this glorious message. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. God's Son died to save us from hell. Jesus rose from the dead, triumphant over all sin, triumphant over Satan himself. There is a home with God forever in heaven for all who believe. That is the glorious gospel message. Free, unconditional, universal. The shame of secret sin, the guilty conscience, the just condemnation and punishment, all set aside, all gone. And in their place, the peace of forgiveness. The joy of God's presence. The intense satisfaction of service. And the marvelous understanding of some of God's mysteries as He reveals Himself to us through His Word. And if that wasn't enough, we also have an inheritance kept in heaven for us. We who are adopted as God's children. All this is in the gospel. The message of God for the world. The most wondrous of all messages. There is nothing remotely comparable. We must share this gospel message. And the second thing I'm sure that Peter and John would have realized, and I'd like to ask you to consider this morning, consider the contrasts or the changes that this message achieves in the lives of those who believe, and consider also the change, as it were, it achieved for God. Let's have a look at mankind first. You see, man was in the darkness of sin, the all-consuming wickedness, the evil that men do, the despair, the hopelessness, the sheer misery of sin's punishment. Inescapable. Eternal. There's no remission. There's no second chance. The opportunity is today to receive the gospel message. And if we receive it, it is all transformed. The gospel brings light and life. It brings wholeness and piety. It brings humility and holiness. It brings a purpose to life, a vision, a goal to strive for, a victory to be won in Christ, a triumph to be enjoyed in Christ, a glory to be shared in Christ. There is fellowship and union with our Saviour and our God. What a transformation that is! The gospel changes lives, and it can change yours this morning. If you've never believed, when you believe, this transformation occurs in your life by the power of God through His Spirit. But consider this morning too the change the gospel has made for God. It's not something we often consider, is it? God saw the destruction of His perfect creation. He suffered the disappointment of Adam's sin, the grief of His world lost in disobedience and self-seeking. And God's response was sorrow and love, which flowed at Calvary. Can you imagine the pain as God punished His only Son for our sin? Can you imagine the bleakness as Christ was forsaken by His Father? And yet, you see, as a result of that, everything was transformed. Christ rose from the dead. Sin couldn't contain Him. The light of the world shone again in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and now shines to the utmost parts of the world because of the spread of the gospel. And as Christ's suffering bear fruit in the lives of mankind, as the kingdom of God is created here on earth, as one day all God's love and glory and all Christ's suffering and sacrifice are consummated in heaven with His peculiar people, with His precious people, with His church, Christ's bride, you and me, as we believe. That is the message of the gospel, the message of love and power and glory. And this is why Peter and John had to continue. This is the compulsion. This is the vision they had, the joy. They couldn't help themselves. Can we? You know, our efforts seem tame and inadequate. And yet we have experienced God's gospel ourselves if we trust in Him. He lives in our hearts too. His Spirit is within us to fill, to empower, to motivate, to inspire. We know the forgiveness of God. We know His love and His peace. And we know that Jesus lives and reigns. So we must respond. We are compelled to respond to Jesus' command. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Because salvation is found in no other. There's no other hope. There's no other way. Jesus alone can save. You know, sometimes our hearts are moved, aren't they? When we see on the television the pictures of famine and war, even in this last week, we see people suffering. Children, elderly, and we feel so helpless. And yet, you know, there's a disaster, a virus, if you like, that affects even more than the ones we've been hearing about recently. It's called sin. And all have sinned. No one escapes. And all are condemned to death except salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. And we have a part to play in that. We have a part to play just like the disciples. Because it's the same power that is within us. And our part is explained in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just to finish with, I wanted to look at just some of the verses there and the things they teach us about our part in the spread of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the church is like a body. And in verse 18 of that chapter, it tells us that God has arranged the parts in the body. You are here because God put you here. It's not an accident. God has arranged the parts of the body. He's got a job for us to do, a part for us to play. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand for us to do. So the first thing is, we are here. God has put us here. He's already started working in our lives by placing us here. And we've got a part to play. And in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12, it explains there are different parts to the body. Hands and feet and head and toes. Different parts, different roles to play, but all the work of the Spirit within us, whether it's preaching or caring, cleaning or washing dishes. Different roles to play in the spread of the gospel, but all empowered by the Spirit of God and having that inner compulsion that we must play our part. And 1 Corinthians 12 tells us every part is needed. And those that seem the weakest parts or the more mundane parts are indispensable. If one part suffers, verse 26 says, every part suffers. The whole church suffers. So we are challenged this morning to play our part in the spread of the gospel, because salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. May God help us to play our part in that spread of the gospel.